I guess no one needs to be reminded about the reality of Franklin's statement that taxes are as inevitable to man as death. They ring loud and clear. In politics, the dreaded word taxes is tossed about to get the most advantageous spin and advantage to those in power. Needless to say, taxes have been one of the most dreaded and hated institutions of mankind throughout history. Rebellions, revolutions, riots, and wars have taken place over policies and practices of taxation. In fact, in a very real sense, this nation was created as a result of taxation, especially taxation without representation. Even though it has been hated by so many, it has remained a reality, an inescapable price to pay for living in an orderly, civilized society and civilization. In order to carry forth their functions of peaceful, secure, orderly, and just governance, nations have found it a necessity to have a means of funding or financing itself. Therefore, in one form or another, taxation is the necessary evil for the welfare of the nation and its people. The problem arises when they become tools of self-promotion and greed. They then present the natural outcome of conflict between mankind and taxation, since they often increase the chasm between the haves and the have-nots. Taxes become the nemesis of mankind and are resented by all. Therefore, the response to taxation becomes, let someone else pay the way. Or maybe even we go to the extreme and say there should be no taxation at all. The price of a civilized society should then be supported by some mystical, magical source of funding. Somehow soldiers and sailors will be paid, roads will be constructed and maintained, children of all economic circumstances will be educated, sanitation systems will be provided, traffic lights will function, law enforced, a monetary system maintained, and so on. I guess everyone wishes for the perks of a civilized society, but hesitate and don't want to pay for it. The problem has been pronounced even more as civilization has advanced and urbanization engulfed more and more of the population. This causes societal needs to become greater and costlier. Therefore, taxation becomes more and more an issue. Not a new issue. Not a new issue at all. The battle over taxation today is not much different than it was in the society of Jesus' day. The Jews were heavily taxed not only by the secular government of the Roman Empire, but by the Jewish institutions themselves, such as the temple tax. But it was clearly the taxes of the Romans which caused the most anger among the Jews. After all, the Jewish people, in their theocratic view of government and society, thought God was to establish their only and rightful king, a king of the Jews. They knew the Jewish kings of the past, and they dreamed of a reestablished nation of the future. and to pay taxes to Caesar, who was holding them under their thumb, was seen giving validity to human and secular kingship in their lives. This was not only an insult to God, but they denied God's will. Therefore, taxation was not only a political issue, but presented deep religious concerns. To give a little more background, the Roman tax was threefold. There was a ground tax, which called for the payment of one-tenth of the grain and one-fifth of the oil or wine produced by a landowner. This tax was partially paid in kind and partially in monetary equivalents. Next was the income tax, which amounted to 1% of a person's income. Finally, there was the poll tax, which had to be paid annually by every male between the ages of 14 and 65, and every female between the ages of 12 and 65. The annual poll tax was approximately equivalent to one day's salary or one denarii, which was sometimes called the tribute coin. Now, this leads us to the story about taxation in our gospel. The Pharisees and Herodians confronted Jesus with a most volatile question. But before asking it, they tried to soften him up a little bit by flattering him and complimenting him for his impartiality and his wisdom. "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality." Lift him up. This was all a setup to catch him off guard with the zinger which was to follow. "Now, teacher, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Now, we may not think this question was much of a zinger, but you must take into consideration who asked the question and why they asked that particular question. The who were the Pharisees and the Herodians. Or the Herodians were the strong supporters of Herod, the Roman provincial leader and ruler. Now, these two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, would normally have been bitter enemies and would have had two diametrically opposed views of taxation. The Pharisees would see the tax as anti-religious, but the Herodians would view the tax as a patriotic duty and a necessity for the workings of the government. Even though the two groups never saw anything in common before this, they both saw Jesus as a potential and realistic threat to their authority and existence. They both wanted Jesus out of the way, so they asked this trick question. The question was a zinger, because if Jesus had outright agreed with the Pharisees, then the Herodians would have had him arrested for this seditious activity. On the other hand, if he would have agreed with the Herodians, then the Pharisees would be able to accuse him of being a heretic. or what, at best, having contrary views to the Jews. This would have turned many of his followers away, who dreaded the tax. The ploy angered Jesus, and he retorted, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? You hypocrites." He had seen through the devious tactics and called them for what they were, hypocrites. They were hypocrites because they came before him with the appearance of having a harmonious relationship, when in fact they were bitter enemies. Jesus then placed the illness back on them. In doing this, he also clarified the relationship of citizenship in an earthly kingdom and the kingdom of God. Show me. Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him the denarii. And he said to them, "Now, you tell me, whose head is this and whose title?" There was no mistaking who it was, so they had to answer. It's the emperor's. Now, since the coin was issued and owned by the emperor, or the property of the government and under its regulations, Jesus responded, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Well, they didn't expect this. The answer amazed them, for they thought they had Jesus in the corner and didn't expect to hear what they heard. Jesus cut through all the common thinking and emotions about taxation and presented a logical and basic truth. He had recognized that mankind had a dual responsibility, a dual citizenship, a dual obligation. While living in this human form with human needs and requirements, which are fulfilled in part by the services of a government, nation, or civilized society, then there is a responsibility to pay or support this function. Jesus thereby did not reject the reality of the need for earthly institutions of government and the responsibility to pay for it, taxes, but verified their validity in our lives. Therefore, the price to be paid is taxation of some form. In the same token, we are to be citizens of the kingdom of God. It is to God's kingdom that we are to give the payment of our life in living his commands to love and to forgive. Thereby, the tax we pay in God's kingdom is the giving of ourselves to all of his creation, which came from his loving hands. This tax is far greater than any monetary tax, for it is the giving of our total being for the good of others. The rewards are far greater and valuable than any services which a government can offer. The rewards of citizenship in God's kingdom are eternal. Therefore, there should be no conflict between the two kingdoms insofar as their need and the place within our lives. There should be no conflict as to the responsibilities and obligations we have to them. We have a dual citizenship as Christians. It is our citizenship, though, within the kingdom of God, which compels us to live both citizenship as followers of Christ. This means that our decisions, that our actions, place God's command to love as primary in both kingdoms. We may not like taxes, but they are an inescapable reality of living here on earth and living as dual citizens. To one we pay from our earnings, the other we pay with the joy of our love. Give therefore to the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Taxation within the earthly kingdom may be painful and even resented, but paying our taxes to God's kingdom is a joy, for this payment is love and forgiveness. It is the celebration of life and life eternal, as first given us through God's love. Give therefore the things that are the emperor's to the emperor, and to God the things that are God's. Amen.